Welcome to Full Potential, Thriving with Neurodiversities. I'm your host, Sarah Intonato. This podcast teaches parents of children with neurodiversities, such as autism, ADHD, learning disabilities, and beyond, to support their kids in reaching their full potential so that they can thrive, instead of letting stereotypes define them. My mission is to end suffering amongst these parents by giving them the tools to heal themselves, which in turn empowers them to be bold, confident advocates for their children. By addressing a variety of topics, such as well-being, advocacy, and spirituality, these parents stop being the victims of a broken system and instead succeed in providing their unique children with exactly what they need to thrive and share their gifts with the world. One by one, these families now change the world through their uniqueness instead of being victimized by it. Are you ready? Let's get started. Hey, hey, everybody. I'm Sarah Intonato, and I'm so excited to be on this podcast episode with you today because I'm doing something that I've never done before. I am sharing a snippet of my new book, Emotional Healing for Parents of Children with Autism, with you today, reading it out loud right now, not in a recording studio, just in my house. The regular book comes out on October 10th, along with the Kindle version. The audiobook will be out a few weeks after that for those of you who need to listen to your books. I've got you. And the reason I'm sharing this excerpt today is because I know it's one that's going to strongly resonate with my audience, with you. And to keep it real, to show you that I was blindsided by my child's autism diagnosis, I imagine you were as well. Nobody goes into parenting planning to be a parent to a child with special needs or disabilities. And yet here we are. And for me, it was a traumatic event in my life. It was something that really required me to dive in and do my own healing work. And I did that in the only way I knew how to do. And for those of you who've been around for a while, you probably know that my background is in yoga and healing. I always thought that my full-time business would be the yoga business that I had previously, that I was very successful in. And the joke was on me. The universe had other plans, but nonetheless, my daily practice is still the anchor of my life. And it was during this time of my life as well. I'm incredibly thankful that I had that to fall back on at a time that was really trying and really stressful in ways that I never imagined life would be like. And this excerpt that I'm going to read talks about when my daily practice was helping me. I was getting through the day, but it also was not enough. I knew that to go deeper and to really give myself the space and the opportunity to heal the root of all the things I was feeling was to go back to India and see my guru there, which was something that I had done four times before I had children. I've been back seven times since. But I hadn't been back until Rocco was diagnosed. And of course, the idea of going back was terrifying to me because I'd always imagined I would pack up my husband and my children and we'd take a family adventure to India together. And needless to say, autism changed that plan for me and for us. And it was very sad for me to think about going back and not bringing my family along. It was terrifying to think about leaving a husband and two toddlers at home without me there, especially when moms are the glue, especially the glue of that time of infancy and toddler life. And yet I knew my well-being was teetering on the brink. My mental health was teetering on the brink. And as someone who'd been through talk therapy before in my life, I don't knock it. It's right for some people. I knew it wasn't right for me. I knew that my spiritual practice was what I really needed to dive into deeper to heal. And this excerpt I'm going to read talks you through that mental rock and a hard place I was in of knowing I couldn't stay home and keep functioning the way I was because I was not really functioning. And at the same time, wrapping my head around the idea of leaving my family behind to go focus on myself was very intense. There were a lot of tears shed And it was a hard decision to make. But you're going to get a glimpse now into what I decided and how I made that choice for myself. So here we go. Hold on to your hats. And this excerpt is from chapter 5, which is entitled In the Eye of the Storm. In the back of my mind, I was starting to wonder how long it would be before I'd be able to resume working. As a freelance yoga teacher, displaced by Hurricane Sandy, there was no paid time off to be had. So the longer I stayed away from work, the more financial opportunities I lost. I tried reminding myself that everyone I knew was in the same situation, but deep down, I still felt as though I'd done something wrong by not planning better for this. In hindsight, this is laughable, of course. Having just birthed 2 children in 18 months and immediately begun navigating life as a special needs mother soon after, clearly my business was not my priority during this season of life. Now, as I write this, I feel no shame, as I was placing my energy where it was most needed during those years. At the time, however, it was something else I had done wrong, another source of pressure. Additionally, I began to worry about my upcoming trip to India, which I had booked on a leap of faith and was now just 6 weeks away. I had no way of knowing how long it would take to restore daily life post-storm in Long Island, and it felt strange not to be working as I prepared to take a month off for this trip, a trip that I felt ashamed to admit I was still incredibly excited to take. It felt embarrassing to consider escaping my life at a time that had traumatized many and thrust them into survival mode. I felt pressure to stay home and help center everyone. But in my gut, I couldn't shake the feeling that the person who most needed centering was me. I planned on being full steam ahead with work before the trip in order to save as much of a financial cushion as possible. And I could still feel my mind dipping in and out of worry due to this unexpected interruption. Still, nothing changed the feeling that I knew I needed to do this for myself. And I knew the well-being of my entire family depended on it. Later that day, Ben called, declaring that American Express and other credit card companies were allowing tri-state residents flexibility with their payments, fees, and even voiding purchases they could not afford in light of being out of work during the storm. "You can get out of the India trip without a penalty. This is your chance," he practically yelled into the phone. His excitement at the thought of me staying home was as clear as a bell. I said I'd look into it and hung up. On paper, his idea made sense, of course. We'd been through so much stress. Cancel the trip, no fees required, no missed work, and plow ahead. Business as usual. But the idea of canceling the one thing I knew would save my sanity made my heart sink. What was I supposed to do? Stay home and let myself crack? There is very little attention paid to the emotional baggage special needs parents carry around the moment their child is diagnosed, which was, for me, a traumatic event. I suppose the reason for this is because the moment a child is diagnosed with autism or another label that carries with it major changes for the trajectory of his or her life, the parents are also faced with a to-do list a mile long, involving paperwork, meetings, researching new schools, new therapies, new diets, etc. There is simply no time for coping, as everything in your life now revolves around your child and this role of special needs caregiver, which has been thrust into your lap. Certainly, no clinician or administrator I have ever met advised parents to give themselves a timeout to do their own healing work. Every once in a while, I'd hear someone spew half-baked advice like, 80% of marriages end in divorce when the parents have a child with autism, so make sure you and your partner still get out for date night sometimes. Ben and I were diligent with date nights. But how are we supposed to veer the conversation back to enjoyable topics when we feared for our child's future and worried for our own? It was absurd. I knew I needed something more to heal myself, and my spiritual path was the only way I knew how. A few days later, Ben arrived in Boston. I greeted him at the door and felt relief when I saw his warm smile. I couldn't wait any longer for one of his strong hugs that made me feel so safe and protected. Nothing could take me down. Being near him again reminded me that even if the surroundings were different, I felt as home as long as we were together. But before I got close enough for a squeeze, he looked at me intently and asked, "Did you cancel your trip yet?" I felt my stomach jolt and felt as though its contents were writhing up through my throat. the same way they did when plummeting down a steep, frightening roller coaster ride. My eyes bulged and my jaw clenched, and my clothes, which had felt comfortable just a moment before, suddenly felt too tight and too hot. I wasn't ready to go into this topic. He hadn't even hung up his coat yet. I thought we would have had at least a few minutes to reunite and enjoy the kids before we addressed yet another heavy item on the to-do list. I took a deep breath and steeled myself for a conversation that I didn't want to have, not just because I had to stand up to Ben, a stubborn Taurus with exceptional negotiating skills, but also because it forced me to admit how broken I felt. Knowing that I would need a quiet place for us to talk uninterrupted, I told Ben to go upstairs, saying I'd meet him in my old bedroom in a few minutes. I lied and said I had to wash my hands so I could steal a few moments alone to collect myself. My mom, still reveling in grandma duty, offered to play with Rocco while Aurelia napped so Ben and I could catch up. As Ben walked slowly up the stairs, I stepped into the small gray downstairs bathroom and looked at myself in the mirror. I paused, took a deep breath, and vowed to remain true to myself and my needs, no matter how Ben reacted. I was scared the conversation wouldn't go well, and I feared what a strong reaction from him would do to my already fragile self-confidence. I also knew there was no benefit to waiting to say what I needed to say. It was time for me to advocate for myself. As I walked into the bedroom and closed the door, I couldn't help but laugh as Ben, perched comfortably on the bed, gave me a wink and a smirk, inviting me in for a romantic kiss. It never mattered if we had something intense to discuss. Ben and I had strong chemistry, and he always knew when to let it help soothe our nerves. I allowed him to pull me in closely, but only for a moment, as I was determined not to lose my resolve. I sat up, grabbed his warm, soft hand in mine, and looked him in the eye. "Ben, I don't exactly know the right way to say this, but I know I have to say it, finally. I've been carrying such a heavy emotional burden. I'm afraid that even if one more thing makes its way onto my plate, I'll crack. I feel such intense pressure to be perfect for my child every moment of every day. I'm amazed I haven't cracked already. I worry that every decision I make will be the wrong one for Rocco, that I'll be the reason he doesn't succeed in life. I honestly don't know if I can live while continuing to be the glue that's holding everything together. Our marriage, our family, our home, our careers, Rocco's future, everything." Simply recounting it felt so heavy and painful that I wondered how I'd been able to live through it while bottling it all up. I turned to him and said, "If I don't go, you're going to have to commit me." When I saw Ben smiling, I added, "This isn't a joke. I need help. And I've arranged to receive it the one way I know will work for me. I have to go." So of course, if you want to know what Ben says, you have to read the book. And I'm so excited for you to read the book because I know every parent who's raising a child with needs has felt that heaviness, that shouldering of a burden that you can't really measure or articulate properly, but feels like a 1,000-pound weight that you're carrying. And there's a key moment in that excerpt which really stands out to me. And it was the moment I recognized I needed to advocate for my own needs. And this is crucial. And I want everyone listening to really pause and digest this. I meet a lot of parents. And I meet a lot of parents who are really committed to their children. And when it comes to their child needing something, they will do anything. They'll figure it out. If they can't afford it or they can't make time for it, they'll figure it out somehow. And yet when it comes to their own needs, they don't figure it out until they're slapped with the health crisis, the mental health crisis, the burnout, or something that the universe does as a way of nudging them, either with a feather or with a baseball bat, to figure it out. And for me, that moment wasn't just a moment. It was a choice. It was a decision. I could have easily said, "You know what? Forget it. Forget my needs. I'm just going to keep chugging along. isn't it easier to not do the big scary thing, even though I know it will help me, even though I know I need it, and just put everyone else first? But that moment, that passage where I said, it's time for me to advocate for myself, is the only reason I'm here with you today narrating this book that I wrote that I know is going to help millions of people. I made a choice. I chose to acknowledge that my healing was important. I chose to recognize that my healing was going to make me better for my son and for everyone, but especially for him. Especially because often I am his voice, and I certainly was when he was little and didn't have many means of communication. Thankfully, he has a lot more now. But it was intense. And the inner turmoil I felt was very edgy, because we live in a culture where moms are not supposed to do that. You're supposed to do it all alone, look pretty well doing it, and make it look easy. You're not even supposed to stay home for a long time when your baby is born. You're supposed to get right back to work. We don't live in tribal cultures here in the United States. We don't have homes with aunts and uncles and grandparents all living in the same apartment building or the same house, or the same village even, helping each other. We are indoctrinated with this idea that you have to do it alone. The beauty in that for me was that I knew it was me alone who had to stand up for my own well-being. I was the only one who had to take ownership of that. And as a result, my whole family benefited. I have no doubt at all that I can say Rocco would not be where he is today if I hadn't stood up for myself in that moment. And I see many parents who know what they need. This was my initial thought that I'm coming back to now. Many parents know they need healing. They know they need something. They know they're not thriving. They know they're stuck in survival mode. And they don't make that decision to take ownership of their needs. They put everyone else's needs first because they think that's what they're supposed to do. They're indoctrinated with that belief. Or it just feels too hard or too scary to stand up for themselves and say, I'm drawing a line in the sand. This is what I need, regardless of what anyone else thinks about it. It was certainly scary for me, and I had tools and I had support. So for those of you listening who don't have tools and don't have support, I want you to know I get it. And I want you to know it's not too late. This is why this book came into existence. You might know that you need to commit to therapy or hypnosis or a daily yoga practice or one of the new exciting offerings I have coming up to support this whole community, which will be in your inbox really soon, by the way. But you might be feeling like, oh, I shouldn't I take that money and put it into my kids' therapy or into buying organic food? Or shouldn't I take that time and, you know, go on a date with my husband instead, et cetera? And I get it. I've been there. But one of my mentors, Jim Fortin, always says, people get so focused on doing the doing, they forget that the doing is only as good as the being who's doing all the doing. Be with that for a minute. Truly. Are you doing all the things, but inside feeling like I was feeling, like you're going to break at any minute? If you are, I want you to consider this your sign that it's time for you to draw a line in the sand and heal yourself. If you don't know how, go to my website, download the free mini guide of how to lower your stress right now. Book a session with me. Don't wait for a signier sign. People love to do that, right? Like they say, universe, send me a sign that this is the right time. This is the right thing. And then they get the sign and they think, oh, that wasn't really it. I need a signier sign. Don't do that. Guess what? You don't even need a sign to say, hey, you know what? I'm the mom here and I need this for my own well-being. You deserve it. Even if you did nothing more as a mom, you already deserve it. You don't have to earn it again. You don't need a sign in your sign. You don't need a permission slip from me or anyone else or your husband or your kids or your doctor. You can take ownership of your own needs. That's what I want you to hear from this episode, from this passage. That's the only reason I'm here telling you this today. I go back in time a lot and look at how strained I was, how exhausted I was with 2-year-olds, a 1-year-old, still nursing, figuring life out that I never planned. And thanking myself for being that young 30-year-old mom who said, hey, you know what? My life might be a hot mess right now, but I know one thing, and that's that I need healing and I know how to get it and I'm going to go do it. And the rest of you are just going to have to deal with it because I'm important. There have been so many things in my life I'm sure I've done wrong, but that's one thing that I know I did right. I knew I was worthy of healing. I chose that for myself. You get to choose it too. Thank you so much for listening. I'm so excited to share this book with you, and I will be a much better reader for the audiobook version when it comes out in a few weeks. But perfection aside, thank you so much for being here on this journey. You deserve to heal too. If today's show resonated with you, please leave a review through your favorite podcast provider, as it's an important step in allowing new listeners to find us when they need to hear this message in their own lives.